Good morning. Coming up on 910 on the Mighty 690, and we do still have a few showers moving throughout southeast Kansas and northeast Oklahoma with a quick check of the radar. That'll be moving through here before long. We'll be clearing out just a little bit, and then we do have another chance of some redevelopment this afternoon, so we'll be keeping a sharp eye on that. Hey, we have a very special guest here in studio, and this is cool. And we got a call yesterday about this opportunity, and Matt Jordan jumped on it. And boy, oh boy, are we happy to have Daniel Crawford in studio with us from 23rd Veteran. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing wonderfully. Thank you so much for inviting me here today.
Absolutely. So, hey, you are doing something pretty crazy. I mean, this is pretty cool. You are walking. You've been walking. You walked to Coffeyville from Minnesota. Is that right?
I did. And it is a good crazy. But yes, it is a crazy idea. I'm walking from Austin, Minnesota to Austin, Texas. It's about a 1,000-mile journey. And it's been amazing so far. Coffeyville, South Coffeyville actually is my halfway spot, and I crossed into Oklahoma yesterday. So I'm stopping today to talk to you, plus it's raining, and who likes walking in the rain?
Hey, oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it was just cool that you were able to find someone who, I guess, found someone who put you in contact with us here, so that's just great.
That's been what the walk has been all about, is meeting people, and this originally started with somebody, buying me a Coke at the VFW
okay.
in the Independence.
That is so cool. I just love that. So, first of all, tell us, why are you doing this?
So I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I got out of the Marine Corps in 1995, so I'm 54 years old, and it took me decades, literally decades, to find the positivity in life. And I turned around completely when I found this organization called 23rd Veteran. And they offer a 14-week program that's free for veterans. Specifically, they're looking at veterans that are living with trauma, and that's everywhere. And they're a beautiful organization. I've seen them work wonderful things in so many people's lives, but they're based in Minnesota, and it's a nonprofit. And trying to grow that is expensive, and nonprofits don't like to put money into growth when they can. And I thought, I watched a fundraiser they were doing and noticed how they were doing it, and I figured that this was the most cost-effective way to spread 23rd Veterans' message and what they do through the United States. I went through Des Moines, I went through Kansas City, I'm going to go through Tulsa, Dallas, and then finally Austin, and talk about veterans' well-being, veterans' mental health. And I've had fun.
That's great.
And I've had fun.
So let's start with the name. Why 23rd Veteran?
It's based on a statistic that 22 veterans a day kill themselves. We don't know what that statistic truly is, but far more veterans are destroying themselves daily through many different means, via alcohol, drugs, self-isolation, just removing themselves from life. And so that's what I'm thinking. I know what it's like to be in that desperate place. And at one point, I didn't take my life. And I survived those times, those darkness times, and I'll do whatever I can. I am the 23rd veteran. I am a 23rd veteran, and I identify myself as somebody that's as there to help the others.
Well, and we know that, you know, that so many, you know, veterans do struggle with all sorts of things, you know, that transition even just from that military life to civilian life is something that we talk about. I'm sure there's a lot more aspects to that. But what are some of the things that, you know, 23rd Veteran does and supports and, you know, and provides for people?
The big thing that they have is a 14-week program. That is their flagship program. And it starts out in a geographic area. We've done it in Minneapolis. We've done it in Duluth, Minnesota. And we've done a class in Philadelphia. And what we do is we take a group of veterans. They probably don't know each other. And we fly them out to some place they already know where they're going, but in my case, it was the Florida Keys with an organization called Outward Bound, and we use other organizations, but people are familiar with that organization. In my case, it was 8 veterans without phones, without motors, without any outside contact, and we ate, slept, and pooped together on a 30-foot sailboat. And this developed a team. Okay, so that was first week. Then we go back to that geographic area. For me, it was Minneapolis. And the next Monday, we got back home on a Saturday or Sunday. The next Monday, 7 a.m., we're working out at the gym. And we use a CrossFit gym. It's not CrossFit specific, or that's, you know, not the workouts we do, but we use a CrossFit gym for a partnership. And it's designed not to recondition the body, but during the workout, after about 30 or 45 minutes worth of workout, your heart's pumping, your blood pressure's going, the brain releases something called BDNF, and it's brain-derived neurotrophic factor. It acts like a memory steroid. It's the reason that you'll remember a trauma or a stress vividly, and you won't remember what you ate yesterday. So we use that. So while you're dripping sweat, while your heart's beating, you're done with the workout, we sit around in a circle and do gratitudes. We follow a workbook that engages certain brain chemicals and emotions and ties them together. And with that, after that workout, you're vulnerable to be honest and open with those trusted people that you just went on this amazing adventure with. So you talk, and you gain more closeness. So that happens for the next 13 weeks. But every other Saturday during this program as well, we take that trusted group with their families and expose them to things that may trigger them. We bring them out to places that have loud noises. We bring them to restaurants. And at the end of the program, we even take them to a shooting range. Some of these people, some of these wonderful veterans are afraid of that. And when we can get them with that close group that they trust, they can take that back to their families and the communities. And the communities win. These veterans that are hurting, at the hardest person, they cost the communities money. A person that's soft-hearted and thinks about compassion, man, they just need a level up in life, a chance. And that's what I'm trying to spread.
No, that's great. I mean, it sounds really well thought out. I just feel like from an outsider looking at that, I mean, you're almost, it sounds like, kind of creating a small squad bay, if you will, of, you know, getting people together and, you know, building. And that's how you build that trust.
That's exactly it. It's based on trust. And a lot of these folks, myself included, had to trust something. And I didn't have the trust. When I originally thought or heard about this program, I saw it on Facebook, and it was too good to be true. Here's this free thing that costs these guys $7,500 per veteran to put them through this class. I thought it was too good to be true. I signed up for it just to see what they're doing to my veterans. And I went through the class, and my life had changed. For me, it's not a chemical dependency program, but for me, my first sober day was the day that I went to this course. 35-year alcoholic. My mom died by drinking herself to death. It's in the pattern. It's in my family. This gave me the reasons not to drink. This gave me the reasons to see life positively, you know, from a positive angle. And I learned to fill my cup up in different ways than with alcohol. It's been cool.
Sure. Now, you mentioned, you know, obviously this is kind of Minnesota homegrown, but is this available, you know, you're trying to get that word out to other people across the nation. So who is eligible for this? How does this work to actually get involved and go on this and start this journey?
So right now it is geographically located in Minnesota. That doesn't mean that we can't take a veteran from this area, because I know there's plenty of them, and have them go to that class. Now there's going to be just logistical things. Where are you going to sit? Where are you going to stay? What are you going to do during your off time? And that's one of the other things that I'm trying to work on, is to bring veterans from, you know, Kansas, from Oklahoma, from this area to Minnesota. I think that we could do that. And you can go to 23rdveteran.org, take a look at our programs, and nominate a veteran. And there is a place right there to do so. And you can see what we do. It's listed out there. But that is a goal, is to spread this to Des Moines, to Kansas City, to Tulsa, to the rural areas, to wherever we can serve veterans. Because veterans don't just live in the metro areas. As a matter of fact, the ones that want to self-isolate don't want to be in the metro area. and there's no services there. Well, why can't we bring the veteran to the services?
Yeah, and well, of course, you mentioned the cost there that, you know, is it's available for free for these veterans, but I'm sure there's generous people donating to make this happen, but where does the money come from, and how can people donate if they're interested in that?
Sure, I'm going to back up and answer your question from earlier.
Yes.
The only criteria that we have for to go through the RECON program, and that's short for reconditioning, is some sort of trauma during your military service. And we don't even ask about what it is. You check a mark. It's not a PTSD label. We don't have doctors. We don't care about that. As a matter of fact, we don't care about your discharge status. Once you raise your right hand, that can be traumatic in a lot of people in leaving home. Anyway, how we raise money, traditionally we do a RUC. So a RUC in a military definition is you put stuff in your backpack and you go for a hike, right? Or something like that. Well, what we do is we take non-perishable food items, put them in our backpack, and we walk from 2 to 10 miles in a loop. We do this in Duluth. We do this in Minneapolis every year, and we've done it in Philadelphia. I think we've done it in L.A. as well, when we have people donate to that RUC. And then we take that food item and we donate those to a charity in the area. In Minneapolis, it's an organization called Haven for Heroes. In Duluth, I'm not sure what it is, but it's another organization. We deliver that. So everybody wins. And these RUCs, they're just a family-friendly grouping of people. We have military veteran vendors there. We've got food, and sometimes we have alcohol there. I don't drink. I don't care if people drink around me, but they have a good time, dog friendly. And that's how we do it. You can donate to 23rd Veteran online right now, or you can. I've got a walk site that you can donate to. walk2texas.com, and that links directly to 23rd Veteran. So that's walk2texas.com.
That's really easy to remember. So I want to shift gears here for a second. I want to talk about your walk a little bit, because not very many of us listening, I don't think, have ever tried to embark on something like this. So you started out, I mean, what's your day look like on this trip? I mean, how many miles do you try to do a day? Do you have a goal? How does this work?
Yeah. So when I was planning this, and when I committed to it in August, I, you know, got the maps out and planned every little step, and tried to engage different VFWs, legions along the way, and different organizations to help me out. Well, you know, I didn't get very good response because people are thinking this is a crazy idea and it's not going to happen. Leaving Minnesota in the middle of February is kind of dumb. Well, you know, I agree. But at the same time, I had some faith. My day, typical day looks like, I stopped with the planning and I just let things happen. I engaged one gentleman in Iowa for my early moves, and he was just amazing at helping me out. And I don't have things planned every day. I know where my camper, I have a camper. I know where it's going to be the next 3 days. I have a pretty good idea that Eagle Ops in Oklahoma are going to help me with drives. And this is how I do it. I park my car. I've got a vehicle. Then I walk 20 miles. And I have a ride scheduled to pick me up and bring me back to my vehicle. I go from my vehicle to where I have my home camp or my camper. It's going to be in Tulsa the next 3 days. And that's how I do it. I don't usually have 3 or 4 days scheduled in advance. I don't usually have that support scheduled in advance. But Eagle Ops in Oklahoma said that they're going to help me out today and the next few days. And I'm really grateful for that. I get up early and I look at the weather. And I make sure my feet are powdered. I use cornstarch. Make sure I have some anti-chafe stuff on. I have, fill my backpack up. I've got water. I've got ibuprofen. I've got a couple of essentials. I've got some food. And I walk 20 miles. And then I get my ride back to my vehicle and repeat the same thing. So I started the day after Groundhog Day. So
Wow.
It is like that.
That's just amazing. So yeah, and now do you go along? Do you kind of have a route as far as, you know? Because obviously walking next to the highway or something can be kind of tricky. I assume you probably stick to some maybe more of the minor roads or secondary roads, that sort of thing.
I do. Some of the route has taken me on 169, which's got a huge shoulder at times and a huge ditch at times, and that's been great, especially since it's been dry. So I've been doing that. I try to do country roads or smaller roads just for my safety. It's just nice. It's a nicer walk. But my route is basically what the Google would say from Austin to Austin.
Sure, yeah,
with the walk route.
I just did that, and I was like, yeah, 541 miles from Austin to Coffeyville. And it says if you do it straight, it'd be 196 hours. So I don't think anyone would want to do that.
Yeah, I am a little crazy, but not that crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. So where have you been stopping? I mean, you mentioned some VFWs, Legion posts, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Early in my route, I had parked my camper at a Legion just overnight and maybe or maybe not plug in and stay there. And changing that every day. And that logistically just didn't work out. Some people's houses, they've stepped up and said, yeah, you can park your camper here. And that's worked out wonderfully. Made some wonderful friends that way. I have a generous donor in Texas. It's a nonprofit, Omega Cares, that has donated hotel time. So for the last, I'm actually in a Coffeyville hotel today.
Great.
For the last three nights. So I've got my camper parked in the parking lot there, and I've had a good shower every day, and it's really just nice to have that little home base. So where I stay has been different places. I've stayed at a home as well. I had three nights in somebody's house that I didn't know. And I stayed at some friend's house that I did know. So it's been whatever's available. Today, I moved my camper to Tulsa. The owner of the RV campground has generously donated three nights there.
Great.
So it's been the donors and the people that want to serve have really stepped up.
And then as far as publicity goes, you've been stopping by radio, TV stations. How have you been getting the word out elsewhere?
My only real hook there originally was in Austin, Minnesota. I contacted a radio station there, and I actually do a radio spot every Tuesday and Thursday. I was doing it in your parking lot just a little bit ago. KAUS in Austin, Minnesota. Anyway, I haven't been contacting the media. It doesn't feel right for me. I don't know why, but that just seems like I'm going to let it happen.
Sure.
When people hear about it, if you build it, they will come.
That's right.
You know, and that's the way it's been.
So you mentioned, you alluded it to it earlier, but you were buying a Coke there at the VFW in Independence, you said.
I was. So my whole idea to go to the VFW in Independence was to see if I could make some contacts. And I walked in there, bought a Coke, and the bartender said, hey, it was just purchased by this gentleman over here. And his name's Bobby. And I went over and said hi to Bobby, and we talked about what I was doing. And next thing you know, Bobby was giving me a ride the next day. And he also introduced me to Ryan at the VFW there, who got me here. And also got me in the Independence newspaper. So these little connections have been amazing. They're everywhere. It could just start with a ride. And that got me through most of south of Kansas City in Kansas. One person had a ride, and he got me in touch with the VFW in Paola. By the way, Paola VFW has got Frisbee Golf. I'm going to plug that
because you
need to know that. Absolutely. If you want to do Frisbee Golf, they've got beer and bathrooms, and it's a VFW. And it was the owner of the Hillsdale Tavern that picked me up. And I will take a ride if there's a compelling reason. And I'll ask veteran stories, things like that. And with his connection, giving me a ride, he got me connected to the VFW. He got me connected with some veterans who desperately needed to get out of the house. And I gave him that reason. And those little connections, those makes the walk It's been just great.
Well, and I totally get you because I was a full-time RVer for 2 years and I still live in a motorhome. But I will tell you that the best part of traveling wasn't seeing the museums or natural beauty or anything like that. It was meeting the people. In my opinion, that's what it's all about.
Not everybody is wired like that, and especially after COVID. Connecting with a lot of the people, the COVID piece is still there for many people, and I think it's an excuse sometimes, and it may be even a psychological excuse that they're not even thinking about, but I think we still have scars there.
I think so. It's a shame. We were at Burger Night last night here at the VFW here in Coffeyville, so miss Burger Night. Man.
I missed Burger Night at the VFW in Independence, too.
Oh.
I was going to go there and realized that it was last night in the hotel and I needed to do my laundry.
Yep.
And I wasn't feeling it.
Sure.
And I
yep.
needed to chill out a little bit.
No, that's good. You got to listen to yourself, and I'm sure that's one of the things you learn. So, hey, you know, Daniel, this is so cool. I'm so glad that you're able to stop by. Can you share one more time for the folks listening, you know, if they're saying, hey, this sounds interesting to me, where can they go to learn more?
23rdveteran.org. That is the place to learn more about 23rd Veteran. If you want to learn and watch me in the walk on Facebook, 1000 Mile Gratitude Walk. I do multiple videos. I do interviews with people daily. I share pictures of just where I'm passing. My 3 times I've been stopped with the police, I've interviewed them. And it's been great. I've got about 700 followers, which isn't huge, but for a guy that started this on his own in August, I think it's doing pretty well.
So when do you think you're going to be in Austin?
That's awesome question. So we've got this little thing happening throughout the United States called a solar eclipse, April 8th. That is my goal, and that is the reason, that was one of the sparks of the reasons of me walking. I got to view one in 2017, and I knew that I had to do it again. Texas just seemed like a logical choice on weather. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I didn't know what I was going to do, and this has been in my brain for years. And I got better. And, you know, I stopped drinking and I started living on the positive side. And my involvement with 23rd Veteran and their rucks, all that stuff formed in my mind. And I decided I'm going to walk to Texas to see this eclipse and bring awareness to veterans' health and 23rd Veteran.
Hey, well, that is so cool, Daniel. I mean, a real inspiration, I think, for a lot of folks out there. Anything else you want to share with us before we wrap up here?
So, everybody has a veteran story. Everybody knows somebody that's struggling. I know this. I just ask you to reach out to them. Give them a call. Send them a text. Give them a call over a text. And they may not have anything to say that you want to hear, and they may not make sense to them, but just listen. You don't have to solve their problems. Just be there and listen. Connect with them. And not just veterans, but people you're thinking about, you know, somebody that you hadn't dealt with in a long time that you should do so. It'll make your day. Smile more. Just look at things from a positive outlook. And when you see me out there, give me a honk and give me a wave. I'll give you a salute. And follow us on 1000 Mile Gratitude Walk on Facebook. Please, please.
We're looking forward to watching your journey as you depart from here, Daniel.
Thank you so much.
Hey, it's great to have you on. Come back anytime, and this is really cool. We wish you safe travels as you continue your journey.
How about if I come back in April when I'm coming back through with
Please
my camper?
Please do. We want to hear all about it.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. That is Daniel Crawford, 23rd Veteran, and we appreciate you stopping on by, sir. We do have more open line to come in moments here on KGGF.